Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Sure IDC podcast, the show about anything and everything. This is Lucas, and let's see what topic we can get into today. We talk about movies, songs, video games, board games, food, books, personality traits, animals, history, anything and everything you can think of. So sit back, relax, because we're just here to have a good time. Happy Halloween! It is that time of year again where we do the Halloween episode. We've talked about scary movies, The Nightmare Before Christmas, and even murders. Dun dun dun! And this year we're going to talk about one of my all-time favorite movies, a movie about the Sanderson sisters. Yes, that's right, we're talking about Hocus Pocus. We will also talk about the second one as well. To have this conversation with me, I have a very special guest, my old-time friend, Richard. How are you doing today, Richard?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I am doing well. Gosh dang it, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and do this.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't dream of being anywhere else.
So it's been a while. I mean, like, you know, you were kind of talking before, 13, 14 years is what we guess, kind of?
Far too long. It has been absolutely far too long.
I mean, it's just crazy how time flies. I mean, it really is. And just all of a second, you know, just in a second, everything's just flies by. Of course, started in theater. You are like, you know, in my history of theater, you know, over the three seasons of content, you know, if you've listened to some episodes on the podcast, you know that I'm a theater person. I do musicals, theater, all that fun stuff. I'm just saying, Richard knew me when I was just a mere young student, you know, like I knew nothing about theater. He saw what I was back in the day of 2008, where I was like, wow, what is this kid doing? He doesn't know what he's doing. But yeah, I mean, Richard has known me from the beginning. So
from the beginning of your theater times. Yes, absolutely. I remember those days, just like you said, just like it was yesterday. I will go down the hall sometimes. I'm like, wonder what Lucas is doing. He's not in practice. He should be here.
13 years later.
You've missed curtain call, buddy.
Yeah, I've missed a couple shows here and there. But no, it's, I mean, I just remember, you know, this is a story that I tell people often. Obviously, we're getting on a tangent already, but this is a story I tell people often. You know, I remember the Alice in Wonderland audition, and, you know, of course, I dramatize it a little bit. No, not really. I'm actually telling the 100% truth, but I remember, you know, going in, bringing my mom to the auditions, and I had never done theater before in my life. Hand, you know, over my heart, swear, I had never done theater before. But for some reason, I was like, man, I want to do a show, not knowing what I was getting myself into. And, you know, we show up to the audition. I get some ridiculously large number in my mind. It probably wasn't that large, maybe like 100 or something. But like, we're sitting there, and we're like 30 minutes away from our house. You know, we've got to drive, and, you know, we get there. It's like 7:15, 7:30. Comes to be 8 o'clock, and I'm like, Mom, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't realize it was going to take this long. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, if they don't call my name by 8:30, we'll just leave. And 8:15 comes around, 8:20, and it's like almost 8:30. I'm like, Mom, let's just go. And we start to walk out the door, and I go to push on it. And I don't know who it was. I don't know if it's you or whoever, but they were like, you were like, Lucas. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went in, and the whole table of chairs were there. And I just stand there. That's what I remember. I just stood there. And they were like, so do you have anything prepared to sing? And I was like, sing? What are you talking about? And I'm pretty sure I sang like Mary Had a Little Lamb or happy birthday or something like that. Read a couple lines and got casted in it, and then a couple, you know, in the process of rehearsing, someone decided to quit, so I got cast as another thing, two roles in my first show. And you know, I always remember that story. I feel like that's a God thing in my life. But, I mean, it really did change my life. And like I said, you guys, all of you, you included, really did, you know, have a part of that. So thank you so much for that.
No, thank you. I remember every single play that you were in. I do, and there have been several times that I have been like, man, I wish that Lucas was here, because, man, he would be so good for this part. every time that I drive by where you used to live, I'm like, oh, I wish I could go get Lucas.
Like, yeah.
It was fun, man, and yeah, no, the theater bug had a hold of you. It changed the course of your entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we fought tooth and nails to get me to do theater. I mean, like, I remember having a teacher from school drive me to Springfield, and my mom would have to come, or Springfield, Sterling, Colorado, and then my mom would have to come pick me up and drive me back, and then you would have to come pick me up, and da 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 da. It was just like, geez Louise. We made
it work because we knew you wanted it.
Yeah, yeah, which I so appreciate of everyone. but no, I mean, it was the beginning. You knew me at the beginning and the start of theater acting career and whatever. So
would you say that it was the start of something new?
Oh gosh, no, no, we're not doing that. No. So, nope. But no, I mean, it has been that long, and I'm so excited to get you on here and talk to you about this, because I know that you have a little more passion for Halloween. I'm like, let's watch the fun Halloween movies. Well, you're like, let's watch blood. But I do know that we have a very similar passion for the topic of the movie Hocus Pocus. But before we get into Hocus Pocus, let's talk a little bit about Halloween. Give me one second, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to find out. Okay, so it is the Thursday before Halloween right now. That is today. So tell us a little bit about your love for Halloween. I mean, like I said, I'm very like, oh, let's watch Halloween Town and nothing scary, hee. But I mean, you are all about those haunted houses and costumes and decorating. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh my goodness. Well, that started when I was very, very young. I remember that my dad was part of the JC's haunted house in Fayetteville, Tennessee. And I remember very vividly the Frankenstein mask that he wore that scared the snot out of me. They literally, it scared all of us kids so much that the second bathroom in the house was facing the laundry room, and his mask was in the laundry room facing the bathroom. So we wouldn't use that bathroom. That's how terrified of that mask we were. But yeah, no, just from every, like, I got introduced to haunted houses at a very young age. I love the being scared. I love scaring people. Scaring people is so much more fun than being scared. And for anybody that's listening, let me tell you right now, if you get the chance to be in a haunted house, do it. You will not be scared being in the haunted house, because you will get to know everybody that works there, and you'll get to know the layout of the haunted house, so it's not really scary for you. But it is absolutely amazing to hear high school boys, college guys, adults who are acting so big and bad come into a room and scare louder than their girlfriends. It's a feeling that I just you don't get it anywhere else. It's awesome.
Yeah, we used to do at the college that I went to, we used to do like a haunted theater, and I loved it. I mean, I was just the guy that was standing off to the side, making sure no one actually got hurt. But it was so much fun, and it was, I think people loved it. People loved coming to the theater for the haunted theater. But yeah, that's really cool. I love that.
Oh yeah. When we moved to Colorado, I hadn't done haunted houses for a while, and started doing stuff for the Children's Miracle Network when I worked for Walmart, which is what started us into the theater. That mm-hmm. we were the first Walmart that had ever done anything for Children's Miracle Network that had to do with theater. When we were trying to think of what we're going to do, we're like, what is something that no store has ever done to raise money for Children's Miracle Network? And we're like, you know what, let's put on a play. No one's ever done that. That year we raised over $40,000 from one event for Children's Miracle Network. And we're like, you know what? We're theater people now. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do. And that's how the Sterling Miracle Players started. That's how my big part of my theater career had started, was just trying to help kids. You know, I thought that was a great thing. And I 100% believe that when the theater bug hits you, it hits you. You either love it or hate it the first time you do it. We've had this conversation before. Yeah. But it hit me really, really hard. And so now I think that haunted houses are basically an extension of theater. They really are, because you're performing. That's all that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's just a little bit different. Now, if I could find a play that was a combination of both, I'd probably be in Nirvana. I would absolutely love that. I think Sweeney Todd's probably the closest that I've seen so far. So
love it.
But it's yeah, haunted houses are my jam. I was talking to Lucas a little bit beforehand and told him that the most expensive mask that I've ever bought for a theater purpose, and I've reused it for haunted houses, was like a $600 mask that forms to your face so that the cheeks move, the mouth moves, the eye, like everything moves like your face would normally.
so it's, awesome.
It's absolutely amazing mask. But yeah, it's like haunted houses and theater. That's my, cause in all honesty, haunted house is just another day on stage. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Halloween is another day on stage. You get to dress up. You get to be somebody else. If you want to, you can be that person that's just walking your kids and saying, yeah, trick or treat, but you don't get candy doing that, do you?
No, you don't. No. No candy for you. I do want to say that what a genius idea. I mean, I don't know who came up with that, but with the whole Walmart putting on the show for the Children's Miracle Network. I mean, just genius. I don't know who thought of that, but that was just a great way. I mean, I remember. Not to backtrack, but I remember, you know, going in, because we had just moved there, moved to Colorado, and we were in that Walmart, and I thought I saw a sign on the thing that said Grease. Because was Grease your first one, or was it not your first one?
Grease was our, goodness gracious, let's see here.
I'm making you think.
Grease was our third one. Grease was our third play.
Okay. So you had started it before I'd even moved there. But I remember seeing like the auditions or the sign for Grease to go, you know, to watch it and everything. And I was like, this is kind of strange, you know, Walmart putting on a show for this, but I mean, we should go watch it. I never did. But then the next year, I remember walking in and seeing the audition notification sign for, because back then there were no notifications. No, just kidding. you know, the audition sign for Alice Wonderland. And I was like, I want to audition for that. So, I mean, that was just a really cool. Like, I mean, I'm so glad that you guys did that, because I wouldn't have started my theater career. So that's genius that you guys did that.
Man, thinking back on the order of the plays, it's kind of odd for me that I can be like, oh yeah, we did this play this many years ago, and then that's when I remember what year it was. It's like, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so long ago.
Yeah.
But I do remember the order of the plays very clearly, because we did Grease, and then we did Alice in Wonderland, and then we did Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do believe that you were Mr. Mike TV.
I was. Yeah, I was the oldest and the tallest child. I was all like, I'm pretty sure I was talking to the girl that played my mother.
I do believe so, yes.
Yeah, that was a great part. I mean, I remember that so well. But yeah, I mean, that was such a good part. And I mean, and it's such a good organization. I mean, like you said, I remember that we would, one thing, you would do like, I can't remember, but you would like, the kid would come see the show.
And yes, then the ambassador for Children's Miracle Network every year would come in and see the show and talk a little bit about Children's Miracle Network and what the funds that the play was going for were for. So,
I mean, $40,000 for one event. I mean, like, props to, I mean, I couldn't imagine what every show did for that network. And they were probably like, shoot, why did we think about this?
I remember, so believe it or not, tend to be an introvert, suffer from social anxiety, diagnosed a couple years ago. I just thought it was totally normal that I felt that way all the time. Mm-hmm. Apparently it's not. But like, so didn't like talking in crowds, could disassociate myself from myself and my part, which is why I can do theater, because that's a character, that's not me. Mm-hmm. But the year that we started doing this, and like the first year that we did it and we raised the $40,000, it was amazing. They wanted us to come to one of the events at the Children's Hospital, which had people from Walmart's, like there were probably 400 people in the auditorium that we were in for the event that they were having. And they chose me to stand up and speak about what we did. So
you're
terrified.
Like, I am
oh
now
my
a
gosh.
Character on stage. I am walking up. You're like, hang on, let me know my character for a second. Okay, yes. I am ready now.
Let me get in character. Yeah, gotta get in character. Okay. Yeah, I'm good now. I'm ready. Yeah, it was nerve-wracking, but I think the one thing that helped me with that is I had enough passion about what we were doing that I was able to convey what I was thinking. Now, I was terrified. I remember shaking so bad.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lot better with public speaking. I stopped doing the dreaded,
I even still do that to this day. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. No other store had ever done that and still has not to this day. Like, the store that we worked for was the only store that's ever done it. It's been absolutely... They are missing out because it's a huge thing. One thing that you will find is that you will always get people to come to theater, if nothing more than to come see their family members or their kids on stage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you will always sell tickets. That's the good thing about theater.
Well, and
when you're doing, go ahead.
No, you finish. You finish your thought.
Oh, I was just gonna say when you couple that with what you're doing it for, you have a good purpose behind it. You're bound to get more people.
Yeah. Well, and what I was gonna say was. Especially since, you know, Walmart, I think originally started in like the Northwest Arkansas area, maybe not originally started, but it's like the main headquarters now. And, you know, it's very big there in Northwest Arkansas. And I lived there for 6 months or so. Couldn't say anything bad about Walmart, but, you know, that area. And I loved living there because that area is so theater heavy, insanely theater heavy. People would call me. There was this lady that I didn't even know from church. She called me and I just randomly answered. I don't answer my phone if it's not somebody I know, but for some reason I answered it and she was like, you probably don't know me, but I got your number from the church directory and my husband wasn't able to go to a show tonight. Would you like to go with me? And I was like, sure. And so I mean, like I was like, sure, why not? But yeah, so it was the funniest thing because we walk up like I didn't know who she was. I didn't know what she looked like. I didn't know her name, nothing. And so I just walk into the lobby of the theater because I knew where the theater was. But I walk into the lobby of the theater and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And this lady like looks at me and I look at her and we kind of look at each other. We're like, is this the person? And then and I'm all like, she's like, Lucas? And I'm like, yes. And she's like, oh, thank God. I didn't remember what you looked like. but yeah, I mean, it was just that area is so, I mean, everyone loves theater. And so it's funny to me that Walmart being in, you know, in that area of the country hasn't thought about, you know, having that become a part of their corporation or whatever. But, anyway, like I said, kind of a tangent, but yeah, that's just interesting to me.
I'm very interested in the fact that you weren't worried about stranger danger. You were just like, ooh, free ticket.
Oh, ticket, yeah. See? I mean, she was from church, Richard. I mean, come on.
I would say your chances of it being safe were pretty up there.
Yeah. I was fine.
Humorous to me.
But no, I mean, that was that. And honestly, not a tangent again, because we're all about tangents in this episode. But I was actually in the show. So, real big tangent. I know you're interested in this. So we go into the theater and we go and sit down. You know, it's a theater in the round. So, you know, obviously you know what theater in the round is, but for the sake of the listeners, you've got the action, the, you know, the dramatization going on in the middle of the room. Then you have the chairs surrounding the outside of the room. And so we walk in and we're sitting there, and it's about this lady who, it's like a one man show. It's about this lady who writes down, like, you know, things that make her happy or whatever, things that she enjoys in life or whatever. And she's actually walking around the theater handing pieces of paper to people. And she's like, okay, when I say this number, this is, if this is your number, you read what it says on the piece of paper. So me and this lady sit down, and by the way, this lady could be my mother, so it wasn't even like an awkward dating situation. Like, it was like this lady could be my mother. And so we sit down in the chairs, and the actress comes up to me, and she's like, here's a piece of paper, you know, this is your number. When I say this number, read this line. And I go, okay. So I, of course, like any good theater person, I'm prepping. I am reading it, making sure there's no big words to say, you know, making sure there's no, you know, no action or anything. Like, I'm like, okay, let's get in this thing. And it's just literally one line, Richard, like literally one line. I was like, oh, okay, that's easy, whatever. So then a couple minutes later, five, six minutes later, she comes back to me and she goes, actually, I don't want you to have this. I want you to have this. She hands me a 3-page thing. And I'm like, what the crap? It has several numbers on it. Several numbers and everything. Now, the lady that I'm with, she knows that I'm a theater person. Like, she knows that I do theater and stuff. And I look at her and I go, did you plan this? Like, what is going on? And so I'm like, oh my gosh, now my part's bigger. Like, what am I? I need to read this and make sure. And so I'm reading it and everything, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's the frickin' love interest. And so so the lady, she like gets up. So I'm watching the show just normal and everything, and I'm like, oh my gosh, when's my part coming up? Like, I'm the next number maybe, so I don't know. And she starts talking about how she went to a bar and how she met this man. And she like shoots her head over at me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. And so like, I'm the love interest in this. And I'm like, you know, I'm in the show several times. And you know, where when they met, and then the scene where she was like, he wanted to take me to the beach. And so, you know, I get off on the stage and everything. We start walking around, and she's like, I start to pull forward, and I notice he stays back a little bit. And I actually looked down, you know, you'd appreciate this, but I looked down and I noticed my shoe was untied. And so I went down to tie my shoe, like literally tie my shoe. And she goes, I thought he was tying his shoe, but really he was. And she turned around and like proposing, but I was actually tying my shoe. And she just looked at me and she just kind of smiled at me. And I was like, oh, sorry, yes. And so I proposed and everything. And like, we walked around the stage again. So, and it was such a good show. Like, I really loved it. But the lady that I was with was like, did you know that was going to happen? That was so cool. And I'm like, I had no idea. I thought you planned it or something, but like I said, weird tangent, but.
So that's when you go, yep, I'm just that good.
You're like, yep.
That's what it is.
I knew it. Actually, when I walked in, I said,
it's fine.
Yeah. Actually, when I walked in, like, I was like, I'm in this show. I'm like, what do you want? My ticket should be free. It was free. But no, it was a memory that I will probably never forget, because it was just such a cool moment. I mean, who would have thought that this random lady would have called me and been like, hey, you want to go to the show? And I've been like, yeah. And then it was just such a cool memory. But I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Well, we're talking about theater.
Yeah, theater. How theater is similar to Halloween.
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're gonna find my way back. I always do. But no, it's just it's amazing. what that organization does and what that area of the country does, as well as, like I said, so theater heavy. And so I really am surprised that Walmart doesn't jump on board with that and actually do, because that's such a big deal. I mean, especially it brings theater to the community, and it brings in so much money. But anyway, so Halloween. So haunted houses. You're a big fan of that, of course. One topic that I want to talk about is, of course, your costuming. You are a big costumer, correct?
Oh, if you only knew how many totes that I have. I have a specific closet that I built just to hold the totes with all the different costumes that I have.
Folks,
so, no, I don't like costumes at all.
I was about to guess how many totes he had, and then he said that he built a shed for them. So.
You can go ahead and take a guess at how many totes I have. I know off the top of my head how many I have.
32.
Not quite 32, oh. But I have more than one costume per tote, so.
So 20.
22.
Oh, I got the two right.
Well, yes, there's only one tote that I have one tote that is specifically for one costume and nothing else goes in there because there's a lot to it, and that is Miss Winifred Sanderson. I have her costume specifically in because I made the costume, I made the wig, I made the book, so it's all got to have its own tote.
I remember when you were Edna?
Oh, Edna Turnblad, yes. Edna
from Hairspray, I remember that.
Yes.
Now, was that for an actual show or was that for Halloween? Or for both?
So that was for Halloween. I was really, really trying to talk our directors into doing Hairspray because I'm like, it's got great musical numbers, great production value. It's going to be just awesome. It's going to be great. We can get a lot of people to do it. And they were on the fence about doing it. So I was like, that's fine. Okay, well, I'm going to dress up to show you. So dressed up as Edna Turnblad. Still remember where I got all of the pieces for the costume. I remember that from that moment on, I will never in my life wear heels or platforms again. I don't understand how women do it. It is the most painful thing that I've ever had, ever.
You wore slippers for Winifred, right?
Oh, yes. Winifred had slippers. I made sure that the dress went all the way down to the floor. I'm like, no, I've got to be comfortable. But funny. I had got platform heels because I was like, I don't trust myself to walk in heels. I need platforms so that I don't fall. After 2 hours of wearing them for the costume contest that I was in, I took them off. And my first two toes, my big toe and the toe right beside it on both feet were black.
No.
So I was like, yeah, never again. I don't understand
how
anyone
win?
Could do that. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah, well, you know me. I'm like, it's all or nothing.
Yeah,
I'm not going to
–
I'm not
going
to – yeah, it's if you're going to do a costume, man. Commit
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, and see, that's one of the problems that I have with costumes is like, man, I really would love to do this. But like in my mind, I'm thinking I will never reach the standard that I have in my mind. And so I might as well just not even do it.
So you know what? You plan ahead of time. If you have to get pieces ahead of time, mm-hmm. you're like – this is what the goal is. This is what I'm going to do. What did I do? A few years back, goodness gracious, it's been a few years back. Denver had their first Comic-Con. And I'm like, you know what? I've always wanted to go to Comic-Con. Let's go to Comic-Con. So I dressed up as a character from Naruto. I had 10 piercings in each ear. That were real. Mind you, that's how dedicated I am to a costume is. I'm like, yeah, I've got to look real.
Oh, my gosh.
10 piercings in each ear that were only there for like 3 days, so they closed up. It was fine. But fake piercings in my nose because I was not about to do that. And then two fake piercings above my lip. I was playing a character called Nagato Uzumaki, the Diva Path of Pain. Went all out, like I'm all out or nothing. So full costume, contacts that I can't see out of, like walking into the front doors and the Denver Post stops and says, oh my gosh, can we get a picture of you for the Denver Post? And I'm like, sure. Awesome. Like, it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
That's how I am when it comes to costumes.
What all have you done? I mean, is that like a loaded question? I mean, Like, is that like a question that'll take like be hard for you to think of, or like, do you know everything that you've been
costume wise?
Not theater wise, costume wise.
That is a huge, huge question, because I have so many different costumes, and I've not kept all of them, because if I can't repurpose it or use it in the future, I typically am like, we'll donate it, you know, or I'll give it to the theater group so that they have it for something.
I mean, you've listed some of your better ones probably, but like, are there any other honorable mentions? Maybe that's a better question to ask.
Oh my goodness. I have, since we'll go on the topic of haunted houses, because that's what we were on. So I'll try to segue us back there with that, with the answer. I had to be Winifred for the haunted house. One year we did Halloween throughout the ages. So the very beginning of Halloween and its origins, all the way up to the theatrical version of it. The very beginning had the origins of Halloween. The very end of the haunted house had Elvira sitting in a theater watching an old scary movie.
I remember
and
you
giving
were
comment
here,
on it. So we've done all kinds of stuff. I think one of my favorite costumes for the haunted houses was Demona. Demona was an animatronic, and the reason that I loved playing her was nobody, even the people that were working in the haunted house, knew what in that room was real and what wasn't. So most of the people who would come in there would like try to poke at stuff to see if it would move, and I'm like, no, I'm a character. I'm not going to do. So being able to like jump out and move when they weren't expecting, I think I scared most everybody that worked in the haunted house and didn't feel bad about it at all. It was quite fun when I'd walk down the hall. But that was probably one of the best honorable mentions for haunted house wise, just because it was something that I did it like last minute, didn't know what I was going to do, tried to find a room in the haunted house that wasn't being occupied. And the room that I was in had nothing but animatronics. I was like, okay, so my character's going to be an animatronic. We'll do that. That's fine. So it was a last minute one, but cool. It was so fun because nobody was expecting it. Cause I didn't tell anybody what I was doing. I was like, I don't even know what room I'm in.
Oh, yeah. The unknown is what gets people. I mean, that's why I don't do haunted houses, cause I'm afraid of the unknown. So
like, I'm the person who has to walk the haunted house after everybody's left, turn off all the lights, and then walk back through the way I came with no lights. I'm like, I'm perfectly fine just because I know the building that we're at. But that is like the worst thing for everybody when you don't know. Yeah. just because something could happen, and that feeling of like, oh, is something behind me, is something in front of me, that is one of the biggest things that we have in the haunted houses, is that people are like, I don't want to be the first one because I don't want a monster get me. I don't want to be the last one because I don't want to be taken away from the group. Well, you know, we're going to get you no matter what. That's what you pay for.
Yeah, that's why you're here, right? If you don't want to be scared, then you probably shouldn't be here. Just saying. Yeah.
The one thing that surprised me the most for the haunted house is we had Death Under the Big Top was one of our themes. So it was a circus themed. I was not aware of how many people are scared of clowns. Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Gracious.
It's like the number one
that
fear, probably.
That amazed me. I was Cuddles the Clown, and my job the entire time was just to wander the halls. Mm. So I was basically monitoring, making sure that the people who were doing their part in the haunted house were doing their part, you know, weren't out and talking to other people and not doing their scares. But I got to roam around, and that was, man, the people that would be walking with the tour guides and would just cringe against the wall and cover their face. I wasn't even a scary clown. Like I was just there. And that was it. Like, but man, that surprised me so much. I was like, good to know. Good to know. I don't have to be scary to be scary.
Yeah, people are, I mean, I would say it's listed. Like, if you were to look up on Google, like, what are most people afraid of? Spiders, height, stuff like that, and clowns. I mean, I would say it's at least top five, if not top five, top ten.
That surprises me so much. I totally get heights. Yep, I don't like heights, and I don't think it's the heights. I think it's the fear of falling. I don't like that feeling. That's why I don't like roller coasters. Mm-hmm. Spiders don't really bother me. As long as I know what they are, I'm fine. But yeah, no, clowns, man. Clowns have never, ever even been on my radar.
Really? Wow. I mean, there was a girl in college that was cringe up in a ball on the floor, curled up, and she, like, when we brought out the clown mask or anything, like, she was just the mask. No one had to wear the mask. They just brought it out, and she just instantly, like, so, yeah. Yeah, clowns are definitely a scary thing for a lot of people.
I had told you before that I work at Home Depot now, and I do the vestibule, the entrance for the store. They have given me pretty much free rein to do whatever I want to. The only caveat to it was, but you cannot have a clown up there.
Well, there you go.
We literally have, because at close to the entrance of our store is our service desk. Every one of our service desk associates are terrified of clowns and have said if there's a clown up there, they're not coming to work. So that was the only caveat I was given. No clowns. I'm like, that's fine. I won't put clowns up there except for Halloween.
That's hilarious. That is so good. I mean, people wouldn't come into the store. They'd be like, nope, I'm coming back after Halloween. I don't, my project can wait.
I'm using sick time. I don't want to come in today because the clown's up there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is there anything else about Halloween life that you enjoy? I mean, other than the haunted house and the costumes and stuff, is there anything else that you enjoy about it, or is those two the main thing?
Well, I will always enjoy the haunted house as part of it, but I mean, candy. Like, who doesn't love candy?
Maniacs.
Like, that is a time. Yeah, people who are weird. If you don't like candy, I'm sorry. I love you. You're probably a great person, but you're weird. Because candy is awesome.
It is. It is awesome. It is awesome. I mean, Ariel has put out a bowl of Halloween candy for the trick-or-treaters, of course. She put it out about 2 weeks ago. It's just like, okay, so, and these are my favorites. She's like, yeah, put your favorites in there. I'm like, okay, thanks. I'm going to weigh about 100 pounds before Halloween. So, no, Halloween candy is great. It is great. There's just something about Halloween. I mean, I am not all about that scariness. I would never go to a haunted house. I'm pretty sure last year, Ariel and her family, we all went to a haunted corn maze and shot zombies with paintball guns and stuff like that. And you know, I let them do that. I sat on the bench. I mean, not the zombies. I did the zombies. That's all fine and dandy. But you know, the haunted corn maze are like, Lucas, we come every year. We know where all the scares are at. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't. So I let them do that. I was prepared to, you know, be made fun of and not be called a man and everything. But you know what? I don't care. Because you know what? Sure, that's the name of this podcast. Sure, I don't care. So, that's just my personality. But yeah, I've never been a fan. I mean, I enjoy, you know, I get the spirit of it. I'm all about that. You know, do what you want. But like, I will not go to a haunted house. I will. And I mean, I like to dress up. But like I said earlier, I'm always like, man, I really want to just be all out amazing. But I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. So probably I shouldn't do it. But yeah, it's there's just something about it that, you know, I enjoy watching Hocus Pocus. Hocus Pocus is something that I do every year on Halloween, never miss a beat, you know, whether I'm handing out kids for candy or, yikes, hang on a second, let's rewind that, whether I'm handing out candy to kids or just, you know, chilling by myself on Halloween, you know, I always try to watch Hocus Pocus, and, you know, we have some history with this movie, you know, more so you than me with the costume and everything. But I mean, I remember that day that we were, you even told me recently, I told you I have a bad memory now. Michael,
would you like me to tell it?
You tell it.
We were in a Joanne's Fabric, and we were picking out fabric for costumes for a play, or we were there while somebody else was picking out fabric for costumes for a play.
We were just along for the ride.
Yeah, and so we decided that was a great time for us to monologue Hocus Pocus in its entirety.
Yeah, the whole movie. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't mean just monologue. I mean act it out. Like it was a spectacle in itself.
Yeah. I mean, it's too bad we didn't have costumes because, I mean, you know, we could have, like, you know, done the whole three-man show and then switch hats and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would have been game for it. I would have had no problem with that. And I know you wouldn't either.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it would have been very fun. But, I mean, what is it, you know, get your opinion of this first, but what is it that makes Hocus Pocus such a good movie? I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, so, gosh, that is a good question. I'm going to say it's a lot of things. That it's the thought of the magic of the day of Halloween, the unpredictability of it, the things that could happen, it's the excitement. It's pretty much what I think of as a haunted house. You don't know what's going to happen. You could have fun. You could be scared out of your mind. But that's what the first time that I watched Hocus Pocus, the whole time you were just like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And I know that that's been many, many years ago and we have it set to memory. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact, but like it was the wonder of it. It's with most things that are Halloween or Disney or, but especially with Hocus Pocus, it was just like, oh wow, how cool would that be? Oh my gosh. And you put yourself in the place of the kids that were being chased and like you get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're 100% right. You know, the movie itself, it has good, like, mystery. It has good, you know, not horror, but like, nastiness. I don't know how to explain it, but like it's not horror. It's not. I mean, I guess it does kind of have like a scariness to it. I mean, just the writing and the feel of the beginning and like the witches and stuff. But then at the same time, there's like playful and funny and just a good, just a good family Halloween movie.
It is definitely a staple. I don't even want to say a staple. It's a tradition. Like that's something that I do with my niece and nephew every single year. The first time that it comes on, we sit down and watch it.
Yeah. Which is, you know, whenever you want to, cause that's the day that we live in now.
true. But like when what is it? The 31 days of Halloween, when that comes on.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it's like, oh, Hocus Pocus is on tonight. Oh, well, come on, guys. You have no other plans. I don't care what your plans were. We're going to watch it. And they do. They'll come over and we'll watch it together. And it's just – that's just something that you – it's a tradition.
Yeah. I mean, it's so – it's just the feeling of watching it is just so good. Like the actors bring you into it and they make you a part of it, like you said. And just the writing and the direction and everything, it just has such a good flow as well. But it's just, I mean, you know, maybe some of the actors aren't, you know, the best actors. But overall, like, you know, it's a solid, solid performance from the majority of, I mean, about 99.9% of the cast, I'd say.
I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, so there's just the Sanderson sisters specifically. I mean, 100%, they made the movie. It's their movie. It's about them. They're the ones that are driving the film. I mean, they're kind of the anti-hero. I mean, not really hero, but like, well, we'll talk about the second one. But the first one, I mean, it's just like they're the ones that are driving the show. It is yes, their movie. It is not Max and, you know, their movie. It is the Sanderson sisters movie, which I think is really unique in that sense.
That the movie was literally the bad guys. Yes, yeah, absolutely. It was. You were not rooting for the good guys. I mean, it's a Disney movie. You know that they're going to make it, but you were the whole time. Yeah, come on, let them do it. Let them do it. Come on,
like, eat the children. No. Do it. I want you to do it. No, I mean you're just so entranced by them. And then Bette Midler and Kathy Najimy and Sarah Jessica Parker, they're just so good. I mean, they, I think that's why the second, I mean, we'll talk about the second one later. I don't want to talk about it too much now, but I think that's the only reason the second one had any chance whatsoever.
Oh, absolutely.
If those three were not in the second one, Hocus Pocus 2, if they ever even wanted to do it, if they ever even did it without them, would be like Aladdin 3, Return of Jafar. It's like, oh, they made that? Oh, so like, does it have the same actors in it? And they're like, oh no, what the crap? Is this like the off-brand version? It's cost like $20 to make, though.
this is the Sam's Cola of Pepsi. What are we doing?
So what? Yeah, what no, is it's this? Yeah. I mean, them coming back and doing it was I think the only reason that it was, you know, even
I remember watching posts and just being like, aren't they going to do it? And when they finally said they were, I flipped out. Yeah, I was so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they just carried the first movie. So quotable, obviously, as we were, you know, we quote the whole movie in Joanne's. But I mean, just the flow of it and the dialogue of the characters and how they, I mean, just like when you're watching the movie, if you only watch it once, you're like, oh, that's so cute. But then when you actually start watching it, you notice what Sarah Jessica Parker and Kathy Najimy do in the background when they're not noticed. You know, it's good. I mean, it's so good.
I would agree with you 100%. They made their presence there known no matter what was happening, whether they were supposed to be the main focus or not. They made the most of their part and made them characters that you love. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't love to hate them, you love them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, you know, if you could watch that movie and just watch what is her character's name? I'm a horrible person. I talk about this, but what is Kathy Najimy's character's name?
Mary.
If you just watch Mary, if you were just to watch that movie, but just watch Mary the whole time, you would have a ball.
Oh yes, and absolutely. It,
same thing with Sarah Jessica Parker's character. If you just watched her the whole movie, you'd be like, "Wow, this is a completely different movie, and I love it."
They bring the comic relief to it, and they play sisters so believably.
They really do.
So believably.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this. I was like, one of the things that I really enjoyed that they did, because a lot of people were like, oh, the Sanderson sisters, they were so stupid in the first one. No, they weren't. They lived back in the day when they didn't know any of this stuff. So it's not that they were stupid. They have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
They have no idea what lighters are or roads are or anything like that. it's a black river of death. Perhaps it's not too deep.
Push her into it.
But they had no idea. It wasn't that they were stupid. They just, that stuff wasn't around when they were alive.
Yeah.
So I love that authenticity of those characters, because that's how would you act if you were put in that situation where you didn't know what anything was? Everything had changed. Like, yeah. Hopefully you're not like trying to suck the souls out of children, but like, yeah. like how would you do it? You would do it the same way. You wouldn't exactly know what was going on.
Yeah.
So,
well, and they really did play into that, you know, with the sprinkler system and the lighter, mm-hmm. and the daylight saving time and the, you know,
murdering rate of death, murdering rate of death.
You know, and the car turning on with the lights and stuff like that. Like, they really played into that. And you're right. I mean, that's a big aspect of the show, is to kind of use the modern technology that they had with even the firefighters and everything. They're witch hunters.
Oh, you mean the witch hunters.
Yeah. So, now, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, the witches are great and everything, but, you know, the kids, they were good. They were good too. I mean, you've got young McGee. I mean, if you ever watched NCIS, you know, you're like, where have I seen that guy before?
I'm glad I'm not the only person that said that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad I'm not the only person. I'm like, why? Why do I know him?
Yeah, you're like, why do I know that kid? And then you're like, oh, Hocus Pocus. He was Zachary Biggs. but no, I mean, they were great. And I mean, you've got, I mean, and just the whole story, I mean, the whole, the guy dressed up as, you know, the devil for Halloween and that scene. And you've got, I mean, that's just, I mean, was that scene necessary?
No, but it was awesome.
But it's so great. We actually, you know, we actually decorated pumpkins. We painted pumpkins a couple weeks ago. I actually put on Hocus Pocus. I kind of watched it a little early this year, but while we were decorating, I put it on, and I'm just like, man, I stopped decorating, and I just watched it. I was like, okay, yeah, but that's why it's kind of in my memory still, even though I can't remember characters' names, but that's just my memory. But yeah, I mean, the scenes, and of course, I haven't talked about it yet, but one of the best scenes in the whole movie, Richard knows it. What is it, Richard?
I love the whole movie.
I mean, come on.
The whole movie fills me with joy.
I mean, come on. Like, the best scene in the whole movie. I mean, come on. Come on. You know, you know what it is.
Oh, don't put me on the spot like that. What?
I mean, I might just have to put a spell on you or something, or, you know.
No. See, I will tell you this. I will and thank you for such a marvelous introduction. Yes, it is absolutely the showstopper for the entire thing. Whether you're one of the adults who are oblivious to what's going on, or one of the kids who doesn't want to listen because they know what's going on, and we'll go back to your watching the sisters in the background. If you're going to do that and you haven't before, watch them during this scene.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely hilarious. It is absolutely hilarious. I realize that they're not the main singer for that part of it, but they are awesome. They are awesome. It's worth just watching them.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a great scene. I mean, and they set it up so perfectly, and the performance was so good. Just everything about it, like, just it was so good, and the audience's reaction to him was just phenomenal. And, you know, just them like, yeah, dance till you die, suckas. You know, just even the end, I mean, it just transformed what the rest of the movie was gonna be. And it's just such a good scene. I mean, you can watch that scene alone 100 times, 1,000 times.
Well, and something that I didn't even think about this first several times that I had watched it. Do you know what that scene had done? Do you have any idea?
What do you mean?
That scene prevented any of the parents from being able to help the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Those kids were now on their own 100%. Yeah.
Now, the real question is, was it Winifred's, like, plan, or did Max just set them up beautifully for it? Like, was that the original plan? Like, go there and enchant the parents? Or did Max, like, oh, thank you, Max. It's like, oh, I can do this now. Thank you.
Here's the thing. Max has horrible luck. Max has horrible luck throughout the entire movie, and that is showcased there. He went there doing what he thought was right, what was going to save them, and it backfired miserably.
Yeah. Yeah. such a good scene. Such a good song. Such a good everything. I mean, it's just so good. Of course, you know, the ending where they think that they have killed the sisters, burning them in the clay oven.
And all they managed to do was teach them Spanish.
Yeah, or was it Spanish or French? I can't remember which one.
I am not sure. I just remember that she's like, she says something. She goes, I want my book.
Yeah. They lead them into the clay thing by running a recording of someone speaking a different language. Yeah, or teaching a different language. And they're like, yes, yes.
I love the fact, and that plays into the whole, they have no idea. The stereo thing is right there, and they're looking at it like, yes. Yes. Like, okay.
Well, they're witches. They're like, oh, this is a talking box. It's just like, oh, there's the man dressed as Satan is our master. And, you know, wife is Medusa.
He's married. Come in and meet the little woman. He's got a little woman?
Sounds tasty. Oh, man. So, but yeah, you're right. They have no, I think that's the beauty of the show as well, is because they're driving it, but yet they have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, they're doing the best that they can with what they have, and literally, like, everything is running in their favor. Even when things backfire for the witches, things are still running in their favor. They're running out of time, but they can still do it. They're running. So, like, yeah. It really is. There's part of you that's like, let them do it. Yeah. They got this.
I mean, their brooms get stolen. Mary has to run on a vacuum later, which is hysterical. But yeah, I mean, the ending, you know, them trying to help Binks, which they should have known. They should have known that Binks wasn't dead, so therefore, you know, or wasn't, a, you know, anyway. But then at the end, you know, they have the kids coming to them, and they could technically make more potions, but Winifred's like, no, I want to get that kid. It's like, I don't care anymore.
Ooh, don't say it, Winnie. Ugly. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just want to get that kid, and the ending is so good. I mean, with Max taking the drink and everything, and but yeah, I mean, the sisters drive the movie. There's good character development with the kids and everything, and just a good story behind it. But yeah, I mean, it's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing? But
let's talk about Billy. About Billy. For the first half of the movie, all you know is there's a zombie chasing the kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. You don't find out until halfway through the movie anything about Billy.
Yeah, yeah. And he has his mouth sewed shut. And then you actually hear him at the end, you know, when he cuts it open. But yeah, you're right. You don't know anything about him. He's just chasing the kids the whole time.
Well, to not give everything away, I will say he has his mouth sewn shut so that he cannot tell his secrets even in death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have it memorized or anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, not at all. but no, great actors, great story, great director. Did you get, you know this. You know who the director is, right?
Oh, yeah.
The director who did High School Musical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you like High School Musical, you will love Hocus Pocus.
It's almost the same thing.
Almost the same thing. But yeah, I mean, the first one's phenomenal, classic, traditional, you know, or a tradition. One of my all-time favorite movies. Richard agrees with that probably.
Oh yes, absolutely.
So of course, I think last year they came out with the second one. We already kind of, you know, teased it a little bit, you know, with them doing posts and stuff like that, and us hoping that, you know, the main three sisters would come back, and they did. And it was last year, right?
It was last year.
Okay, it was last year. Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, so Hocus Pocus 2 came out. Our dreams came true. The sisters were back. You know, we got to see them again after, I mean, I think the first one came out in, like, what, 1999?
That sounds accurate. Yeah, it's right around there.
So 24 or 23 years. They looked amazing. And then we got Hocus Pocus 2. And it was a thing.
A movie.
It was a movie.
It was a movie.
It was
yeah.
a movie. What's your thoughts on Hocus Pocus 2? I mean, let's get controversial if we have to. You know, let's get down and dirty. Okay.
I loved Hocus Pocus 1. I've already stated that it was a great, great movie. It's a staple movie. It's something that is got something for everyone. It's great. And then they made Hocus Pocus 2, and like you said, our dreams came true, and that's about as far as it went.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we were expecting, just what it was not the same kind of movie.
It wasn't.
It was not the same kind of movie. There were bits and pieces of it that I absolutely loved, that I thought were great.
Yeah.
But bits and pieces. Yeah. It was not.
You mean like the bits and pieces that were such a big hit in the first one that they tried to carry over to the second one?
I mean, like little nods to the past, like Mary once again getting stuck with vacuum of sorts.
The Roombas.
Like those little nods to I will say nods to the previous movie. Okay, mm-hmm. I won't say the things that outright tried to copy from the previous movie.
Please say it.
It was not what I expected. It was not what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't something that I'm like, oh yeah, I have to watch that every year with the first one. And like it just wasn't there. It wasn't.
Yeah, I agree. So I guess it's not going to be too controversial, but I mean, at least not between us. But I agree, you know, them eating the makeup to look younger, you know, kind of a copy. You know, we already kind of talked about it, you know, them not truly knowing what's happening. The Roombas and everything, or them flying, that was, you know, kind of, you know, a homage to the first one. I think the only things that was really driving the movie, in my opinion, were... the sisters obviously seeing them again, you know.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, and then I enjoyed the music. Of course, Bette Midler singing and all them together. I mean, they were good. Are they? I put a spell on you. Good.
No.
No, but we still got to see them sing, and we got to, you know, do that and everything. So that was exciting. But there's one thing about the movie that I just didn't understand, and that I'm gonna say right now. But so Disney has this problem, and we've talked about it on some shows. I think we did like a Disney live action or something, or we've talked about it. I've talked about it before. But the thing about Disney is that, and this might be a hot topic, and this might be a hot take, but no one can be bad just to be bad. There has to be a reason they're bad. Why? Why can't the Sanderson sisters just be bad to be bad? Because, you know, you got the whole backstory of them, which I was like, okay, we're backstorying it up. Cool. I mean, this is awesome. What's it going to be? Oh, it's the backstory for how they became evil. Interesting. I don't know how I feel about this. But okay, let's go with it. Let's continue on. Like, why can't the Sanderson sisters just be bad? Just to be bad? Why does there have to be a reason? Why does there have to be some person that made them bad? I don't know. Maybe, like I said, that's a hot take, but what's your thoughts on that?
No, I'm actually 100% on board with what you're saying. I was not expecting what they gave us. I'm like, cool, a backstory? That's awesome. Yeah. I like backstories. Let's make it a backstory that actually fits the character versus, like, nobody's bad. Everybody's good. Everybody has good in them. No, not always. That is not the case. That is definitely not what you want in all of your bad guys. Would Michael Myers be as scary as he was if he just had a tragic backstory? Because no, then you'd feel sorry for him and not think of him as a monster, which he is. Yeah. Like it's not always necessary, even if it's Disney. Yeah. I understand that that's not what they're going for, but that's the truth. There was no reason for them to be like, oh, they were actually good kids, and they just that's not how I want my Winifred.
Yeah,
I want my Winifred just to be a mean person who is vain and wants to live forever and found a way to do it and is mean to her sisters because she can be, because she's obviously the smartest and best looking of all of them, even if she's not like that. And I feel like you're taking away from you're really taking away and doing disjustice to the original characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean the reason why the first one was such a big success was because they were evil. Evil, yeah. You know, like,
yeah, absolutely.
They were evil. They were witches. And, but I mean, like, they weren't like, they weren't, I mean, of course they weren't like your evil, you know, like your scary witches. I mean, they had a comedic aspect to them, but at the end of the day, you knew that they were wanting to take the souls of children and be young forever. And they didn't care how they did it, how they got it. They were going to do it no matter what.
And part two makes it seem like but we had a good reason. No, there is no good reason. I'm sorry, you don't have to have, like, you already know what they were doing was bad, and I mean, that's fine. They're witches. That's, you know, whatever. But you don't have to try to give a good moral reason why they were doing bad. That's not necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a guest on the show.
As my dogs are saying, hey, we're talking to you.
Hey, I always love when dogs come on the show. I have a friend who has a dog, and sometimes he records with him in the room, and I can hear his chain dingling, or like his collar, and I'm just all like, oh, there's a guest. New guest on the show.
I was doing really good because I have three of them, and my one that's usually in the room with me just like tilts his head, like, because he can hear what's going on, and he's like, oh, there's somebody there. Dad's talking to someone. My middle one is the one that you're hearing that's barking, is now realizing that I'm talking to someone, and is trying to tell me, hey, you're talking to someone, Dad.
but no, I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, there's – and I agree with that. And I think, you know, when I watched the show – the first one was the success that it was, and we already talked about why it was a success. Was it because it was a movie about the Sanderson sisters? This Hocus Pocus 2 was a movie about the Sanderson sisters, but only to validate, to make up, to show the reason why they were evil. And it was about the kids. In my opinion.
Absolutely.
Obviously Disney likes that, you know. But the sad part is like, I mean, we already talked about the first one about how the sisters were the driving force of the movie. And you could look at, you know, the sisters and any scene that they were in and be like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. If you were, and I mean, I've only seen Hocus Pocus 2 maybe like once or twice, but if you were like, Lucas, what did the sisters do in this scene? And be like, I don't really remember seeing them. Like, the story was about Winifred and the kids.
Yeah.
They just brought Kathy Najimy and Sarah Jessica Parker back just to kind of be do the singing parts with Bette Midler, and that's about it.
Yep. Absolutely. I think that they could have done it so much. If they had done nothing more than brought them back with the intention of getting the book, making the potion so that they could live forever again, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Because it would have been a continuation of the original story. That's fine, because that's what they were doing. Instead of changing it to, oh, we're back now, I just want to become the most powerful thing that there is.
Yeah.
Like, that completely changed what happened from the last one. And that's, yeah. I feel like that's a huge mistake. Like, you're changing the source material.
Yeah. I mean, I understand, you know, at the end of the movie, you know, she lost her sisters and everything. And, you know, they tried to spin that back with, oh, we're stronger together. You know, I understand what they were trying to do. Was it as successful as the first one? No. But they tried. That's all. Hey, that's all that matters. Is that you tried? If I remember correctly, Disney did not do the first one, or did they? I can't remember. No, they did. They did. I think they did, because they're at Disneyland and everything, and Disney World. I'm just trying to remember who exactly did it. I mean, I know who the director was, but I think Disney did it, right? Am I going crazy right now?
You're right. Yeah, Disney did it.
I'm crazy. I said 1999. The first one came out in 1993.
20 years.
So it has been 20 years. Hey, and that was the year before I was born. I just like to say that to make all the listeners feel old right now. Gosh. I mean, you're right. I'm right. You know, about the second one. It was fun to see them. And like I said, I did enjoy the musical numbers, but that's just me being who I am. Were they as great as, you know, like I said, Put a Spell on You? No. But we got to see them again. Also, I think I verbally said out loud when they first got back and they sang the Witches Are Back song, I was like, oh, wow, okay, we're singing. Okay, this is strange. Like, I was like, oh, we're singing already? Okay. And then it was over, and I was like, wow, I hope that wasn't the only song that they sing. Like, like, it's like, okay. It's like, in this show, we need two musical numbers, and we're still not better than Put a Spell on Me.
Oh, that is hurts that it's so true.
Yeah. Say what you want. If you enjoyed Hocus Pocus 2, props to you. I mean, we enjoyed it as well, right?
You know, yes, because it's something that we waited for. It's something that we wanted for a long time. Is it technically what we wanted? Maybe not.
No.
But yeah, it was still us getting to see them again. So, I mean, all in all, it was a win-win, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Win-win, win for everyone. And, hey, they're all alive still. All look great. they did look great. But yeah, it was very interesting, and I wouldn't go as far to say disappointing, because, you know, I think about it. I think, man, Hocus Pocus 2, like, should I watch that again? And I'm like, I guess I could, but why would I?
I have that really sinking down in the pit of my stomach thought for movies now that don't come to the theater and go directly to Disney Plus. I'm like, did you not have enough faith in it that you only brought it to Disney Plus instead of going to the theaters?
Yeah.
Like, I have that like worry that, like, maybe it's not going to be as good as they were hoping, if that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the original Hocus Pocus, you can't beat it. And I think anyone that's a true Hocus Pocus fan will say the exact same things that we're saying. You know, I mean, who knows? Comment down below if you're all like, Hocus Pocus 2 is better than Hocus Pocus. And I will die on that mountain. You know, if you really believe that, leave a comment. But
I have no ill will towards anybody that enjoyed it more than I did. I'm glad for you. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it too, just not as much as I did the first one.
Just in different ways, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it is hard to beat the first one. I mean, we were probably having high expectations. I don't think I did, though. I don't think I had high expectations going in.
Let's be honest. Like, when you first watched Hocus Pocus, when I first watched Hocus Pocus, I had no expectations going in. I was just like, ooh, a movie.
Oh, yeah, zero. So, Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it was phenomenal. Question.
It is. A place in our heart forever.
It really is. I mean, like I said, favorite movie, one of my favorites, watch it every year. But I have this very big question for you, Richard. Very big question. How the heck is Hocus Pocus not a stage musical?
I have no idea. I have wondered this for a while. It would be an amazing, amazing play. It would be an amazing play.
Yeah.
It would not be hard to convert into a play at all.
It wouldn't. It would not. Literally convert it into a musical, and you would nail it.
This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, because I will admit that I am weird. I'm fine with that. Most theater people are. We enjoy it. We thrive on it. Rocky Horror Picture Show, live performances. They do the stage performance while it's showing on. Why couldn't they do that with because anybody who's going to watch it already knows all the lines. They're going to be saying it anyway. Like, yeah. There's so many ways that they could play it, and it would be so fun, and I would love to be a part of any of it.
Yeah. So I think I probably should edit it out and not mention it, just in case someone steals the idea, and then we should write a Hocus Pocus musical. How about that?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Absolutely. I'm down for that.
And then get sued by Disney, and Disney can steal it. How about that? So, like, we lose all the money and the project and everything.
Who says that they haven't already?
Oh, that's true, I guess.
They could be listening right now.
I just
now.
Got super sad right now. but no, I mean, in all seriousness, like, it would be, if they did it correctly, of course, like anything, it would be such a great musical. Such a great musical.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, you don't even have to,
oh my gosh,
you don't even have to have I Put a Spell on You in the musical, and it could be a great musical.
I mean, you could.
I mean, I think you should.
I'd still want it.
You
could do it without it, but I'm like, would you really want to? No. You would have to have it in there. It would be awesome.
Yeah. The real question is would there be an ensemble? I don't know.
Yes.
Yes? Who would the ensemble be? Just the townsfolk?
Oh, yeah.
I like it. We're just going to... So after we're done here, we're going to be writing the Hocus Pocus musical. So
don't mind us. Pay no attention to that.
Don't mind us. But that's something that I've thought about forever, is why have they not converted Hocus Pocus to a musical? And you know what? Maybe they've thought about it and they've tried it and they're like, man, it's just not clicking. But, you know, if you have the right people who are passionate about it and have good ideas and good, you know, music writing and stuff like that, it could be a massive success. I mean, maybe not like, you know, Tony winning, but it could definitely be a one that would, you know, people would go to if they saw that it was coming to their town or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What was it that I saw the other day? And mind you, I don't know if this is a new one or if it was just something that came across my reels on YouTube, because I have a lot of theater stuff on there. But the Mrs. Doubtfire the musical.
Really?
Yes. And if they can do a Mrs. Doubtfire the musical, why can't they do a Hocus Pocus the musical?
That is the question. How do I feel about a Mrs. Doubtfire musical?
From what I've seen of it, I was laughing so hard I was snorting. I was like, okay, okay, yeah, okay, I get it.
Must be pretty good then.
Oh, it was the only part that I watched. What I watched the musical number for when they're making him up as Mrs. Doubtfire, and I laughed, and it is like. Such a creative way to do it, and like I don't want to give anything away. I want you to check it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, man, like I was not expecting the way that they did it. Total shocker for how they did it. But it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing, and of course, looks just like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Wow, that's pretty dang good. See, I think Robin Williams has a place in my heart that. Of course, he has a place in everyone's heart that it's hard. And I think that's why they've waited so long, probably, to do stuff like this. But I think something just came out, Mr. No Facebook. I think they just did Aladdin again or something about Aladdin, about how they used the clips that they recorded from Robin Williams. And so he's going to be back or something like that. So he's going to be back into an Aladdin. I can't remember what it was. I didn't really look at it, but I just saw. I didn't really look at it. That's the way the world works. I didn't actually read it, but I did notice that. And then you talk about it like you know exactly what everything's about. Jeez Louise. But yeah, I mean, there's just something about Robin Williams' character, stories, projects, whatever, that that I think are coming back a little bit. But it'd be interesting to see how good the musical does.
Oh, I will 100% be seeing it when it comes to Buell or close to wherever I'm at the time, because I'm super excited for it.
Yeah. I think I might have heard about it, but overall I didn't really dive into it. But I might have to look at it. I might have to look at it. Well.
Yeah. It's not as important as if you were to hear Guess Who's Coming to Stage and then had something Hocus Pocus themed that you recognized, because I'm pretty sure you'd be like, nope, opening night, I've got to be there.
Yeah, I want to be a part of it.
Let me be a townsperson. I don't care what it is. Yeah. Just let me be a part of it.
I'm just going to show up opening night and I'm just going to stand on stage. I'm a part of it. I'm here. But no, any last thoughts on Hocus Pocus or Halloween or anything?
Man, like not putting Christmas down, because I love Christmas. I absolutely love Christmas, but Halloween is my jam. I love Halloween. I love the feeling of this time of year. I love I love that people get into costume when they normally wouldn't. It's just a good feeling. And I love chocolate, so any excuse to be able to have fun-sized Snicker bars, I mean, I'm not going to fuss about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I say fun size, I mean regular size.
And here I thought you meant the tiny versions, the bite-sized versions.
No, I mean the couple bite versions.
The couple. I just want the couple bite. I want the couple bite version, please. Just the couple bite. This is fun. No, it really is a good time of year. Great movies, obviously. Hocus Pocus being one of those. But if you have not seen Hocus Pocus, where have you been? You need to watch it this year for Halloween. So, like, watch it right now or later. I mean, just on Halloween number 4. It's such a great movie. If you want to watch the second one, you can. But, yeah, the first one is a classic. It's a tradition. I watch it every year on Halloween. But yeah, it's such a great show. Thank you so much for being on the show, Richard, taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it. It was a great conversation.
Oh, it has been a pleasure. I have looked forward to talking with you for a while, so this has just been awesome.
Yes, thank you so much, and thank you for listening, you listeners out there. Shows come out every 2 weeks on Thursday. You can find me on Facebook and YouTube. So thanks for listening. Happy Halloween. Stay safe out there. And remember, you don't care.